At the close of the American Revolution, which began with only 15 to 20% of the population regularly attending church, Anglicans, Quakers, and even politically victorious New England Congregationalists found their strongholds besieged by Baptists and Methodists. Inspired by Democratic rhetoric and opportunity, the insurgent denominations found the late 1780s and 1790s a fruitful time for promoting personal salvation and harvesting souls. In contrast to the staid services and educated clergy of the established denominations, Baptists and Methodists shared practices and techniques especially successful in remote or frontier areas. Reliance on part-time or itinerant preachers who had little formal education and received minimal pay, and most of all, revivals and camp meetings. It is an exaggeration to think of this as a largely American behavioral innovation. Princeton's Lee Schmidt and other religious historians have located important roots in the 17th and 18th century Presbyterian holy fairs that developed in the southwest of Scotland and then in nearby Northern Ireland. Sometimes involving many thousands of worshippers, these outdoor events were marked by swaying, crying, swooning, and the like, mockingly caricatured by the famous Robert Burns and others. Being much in the minds of Scottish and Scotch-Irish settlers in North America, their memories helped to inspire the similar revivals and camp meetings along the Appalachian frontier. But if the Scottish ancestry is clear, the enthusiasm and lack of restraint does seem to have been greater in the New World. New physical ecstasies joined Quaker and Shaker in the religious lexicon. One Methodist recalled that while I was preaching, the power of God fell on the assembly, and there was an awful shaking among the dry bones. Several fell on the floor and cried for mercy. Cane Ridge, Kentucky, where on one evening in August 1801, 20,000 sobbed, shrieked, and shouted themselves into near hysteria, gained particular fame as a revival ground. Between 1800 and 1850, the western half of New York became known as the Burned-Over District, because of the emotional inflammations there that matched the searing heat of forest fires. Both evangelical insurgencies saw their flocks multiply. Between 1776 and 1806, Methodist ranks in the United States increased by 2,500%, from 4,900 adherents to 130,000. While Baptist membership ballooned from 35,000 in 1784 to 173,000 in 1810. By 1850, populist outreach had made Methodists the largest U.S. denomination with 2.7 million members, the Baptists placing second with 1.6 million. Successful American Protestantism proselytized with an evangelical accent. For both churches, the burgeoning South, including the southern settled Ohio Valley, had emerged as their principal center of gravity. Nevertheless, before the Baptists and Methodists could make evangelical religion dominant below the Mason-Dixon line, they had to, and did, shed notions that were perceived as radical, such as opposition to slavery and enmity to social hierarchies, as well as their early emphasis on self-revelation and church fellowship, which in some localities had been deemed harmful to family bonds. As one recent historian of the Bible Belt has pointed out, this meant altering, often drastically, many earlier evangelical teachings and practices concerning the proper roles of men and women, old and young, white and black, as well as their positions on the relationship between Christianity and other forms of supernaturalism. As a result, evangelism looked much different in the 1830s than it had in the 1790s. In some poor, low slaveholding areas, white dissidents did break away into minor sects. Especially in the North, well-educated, established clergy often deplored the emotionalism, physical displays, and lack of erudition among the Baptists and Methodists. Those churches, said Connecticut Congregationalist Lyman Beecher, were worse than nothing. Critics also harped on the prurient incitements when baptism involved total immersion of girls wearing flimsy shifts, and they disparaged the liquor often sold in proximity to camp meetings. Barton Stone, later a famous evangelist, candidly described the bodily agitations seen at the Cane Ridge revivals of the early 1800s. They included falling, often with a piercing shriek, the jerks, often of the head, dancing, as an extension of the jerks, and barking, as an accompaniment to the jerks. While opponents frequently exaggerated this behavior, they were hardly making it up. Comparable insults had been leveled in the 1740s, when old-line Virginia Anglicans and New England Congregationalist leaders blistered evangelists like George Whitefield for emotionalism, enthusiasm, and threat to good order. Even so, the first half of the 19th century introduced a range of new denominations that made Baptists and Methodists look sedate.